the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, and happy Good Friday. On this very special edition of the Albert Mohler Program, we're going to be rebroadcasting a conversation we had last year on whether one must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be a Christian. Well, I can give you advance word. The answer to that is yes, emphatically yes. As the apostles made very clear, this is key to understanding why the gospel is such good news. It is because only by the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead was indeed the vindication of his substitutionary atonement declared to the entire world. Only there was his victory over sin and death made clear. Only there do we have the promise of the fact that as Christ was resurrected from the dead, so shall we also be. We're going to be talking about that today on the Albert Mohler Program. Because it is a classic rebroadcast, we will not be taking questions, but we will be talking about one of the most important issues that Christians could ever consider, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Coming up Sunday is the Sunday that most Christians call Easter Sunday. And even as we use that term, we realize that it would be better to call it the festival or the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We need to be very clear that this is not just some kind of cultural holiday. Now, this is a day when, at least when I was growing up, it used to be associated with everybody getting dressed up in Easter finery, women wearing hats, men wearing a new suit, children wearing new clothes. It was as much a cultural as a Christian observance. Well, you know, we're living in a far more secular age now, and the reality is that even though there are people who will be wearing some Easter finery at church on Sunday morning, the vast majority of Americans will probably never really understand what the day is all about. We need to be very clear that it is a day celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, that we would be declared righteous before God because of his atonement. It was he who died and was put in the tomb and on the third day was raised by his Father from the dead. Now, again, we're going to be talking later in this program about why, without that, there is no Christianity. There is no good news. If it doesn't matter that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we're saying it wouldn't matter if he had remained in the tomb. But if he had remained in the tomb, then Christianity is nothing more than a lifeless philosophy of life with no promise. But it is the living faith of those who come to know the resurrected Christ. And that's why the central claim about the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been the stackpole truth claim of Christianity from the very beginning. But that's on Sunday. Sunday is when we will celebrate the resurrection. And you know, there's a sense in which we need to back up just a little bit and say the day that we now observe as Good Friday today is a day that only makes sense as Good Friday in light of the celebration of resurrection that is coming on Sunday. You know, we really need to keep in mind that we are looking backwards in history here. We're looking backwards from the resurrection to the crucifixion, and only because we are looking backwards can we look to the crucifixion and see it as, well, take the name of the day we now observe, good. What would it mean to call the crucifixion of Jesus Christ good? But what would it mean to look at this darkest day when the sky was turned to darkness, when the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom? What would it mean to understand that this day is good? Well, it's clear that before the resurrection, the disciples did not think that it was a good day. It's clear that as the honesty of the inerrant and inspired gospels give us in Scripture, what we have is the reality that the disciples were cowering in fear. They who had been told by Jesus Christ that he would be raised from the dead, those who had been given a briefing by the Lord himself about the sequence of events that would take place in Jerusalem leading to his crucifixion and then to his resurrection, they had so focused on the crucifixion, they had seen Christ die on the cross, that their hopes were dashed, their faith was nearly vanquished, and their confidence was completely evaporated so that they were literally cowering in fear. And then the word came of the resurrection. And as, again, the honesty of the Gospels reveals to us, there were some who heard that word who did not believe it. Even someone like Peter had to run to the tomb to see if this report was true. Well, the report was true. The New Testament tells us again and again, not only that Jesus Christ was bodily raised from the dead, that the tomb was empty. The New Testament tells us very clearly that Jesus appeared to many witnesses in many different contexts. The resurrection faith of the church is the very sum and substance of the gospel. Without that, there is no good news. There is no gospel. Life doesn't triumph. Death does. Life does not have the last word. Death has the last word. But looking backwards from Easter, we can now look back to the cross as the disciples did and see it not as it appeared on that day as a day of defeat, but instead as we see it now through resurrection eyes as a day of victory. Because what took place on the cross was not Jesus as a victim being victimized. It was the very King of Glory giving himself for sinners and reigning on the cross in a way that we can imagine no king ever reigning from any throne. He was in an act of perfect obedience, following the will of his Father, such that he was there fulfilling the promise of the Father that he would save sinners through the blood of his own Son. The writer of the book of Hebrews puts it this way. He said, when Jesus Christ went into that tabernacle, not made with human hands, he went in carrying not the blood of a lamb or of an animal, but his own blood, which he shed for us. And from the resurrection looking backwards to the cross, we see Christ there as our substitute. We see Christ there as the sacrifice. We see Christ there as the perfect Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, there giving his life for sinners. That's why we can look backwards and say it's Good Friday. We can look backwards and say we are so thankful for the cross. We can look backwards and say that that cross becomes the centering event of our lives, the cross and the resurrection together, such that we understand that our hope for living, our hope of eternal life, our confidence that we will stand before the throne of God, acquitted of our sins because of the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, and we have come to know him by faith. We come to know that we are justified by faith alone. And we come to understand that it is the cross and the resurrection of Christ together that explain this. Now, let's be honest. When we think of the days there in Jerusalem where all things were accomplished for our salvation, when we think about the sequence of events from the arrest of Jesus and his trial to the crucifixion and his entombment and then to the resurrection, there's a sense in which walking through the days of this week, and so many churches have different observances and services, we walk through it thinking, well, this is what happened on this day at this stage of the sequence. But honesty compels us to say we can only walk through these days because we know what's coming. If there were no resurrection coming, if Sunday was not coming, then this Friday would be anything but good. This Friday would just be one more lamentable tragedy in the long series of human tragedies. This day would be just a day in which one prophet was killed in the line of so many prophets who were killed. But that's not what we're here for. And that's not what we're saying. That's not what we're believing. We are able to look to this Friday and call it good because we know there is a resurrection coming. And thus, looking backwards, we do not see Christ again as victim. We see Christ as victor on the cross. We do not see him as the victim of evil forces that forced him into this situation. We see him as the obedient Son of God who willingly said in the garden, as he prayed to his Father, not my will, but thine be done. We see a model of perfect obedience. We see the sinless Lamb of God shedding his blood so that all who would come to him by faith might have their sins forgiven, would be justified. They would have Christ's own righteousness imputed to them, declared to be theirs by the Father. We understand right now that Good Friday is good because it's the very ground of our salvation. That Good Friday is good because Sunday is coming. It is because the saving events that took place there, the atonement of Christ comes down not to either the cross or the resurrection, or even just both the cross and the resurrection, but cross and resurrection as one great saving act of God. It's all of one piece. I wish you a happy Good Friday, and I hope on this day you are pondering what it means for us to stand in the shadow of the cross for the remainder of our lives, to stand in the confidence that the cross of Christ accomplished all that was necessary for our salvation as payment for sin. But it is the empty tomb and the resurrection of Christ that accomplishes the vindication of Christ's work, where the Father declares it to have been not merely enough, but completely and perfectly satisfactory to pay the penalty for our sin. Folks, it comes down to the gospel. And that's why, as we are right now focusing on the cross and resurrection of Christ, we do so able to say, not just of one day, but of all that was done for us, it is good. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," it was not a statement of surrender. It was a trumpeted statement of victory. And that's why we're able to have this conversation today. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. And intelligent Christians need to be ready with an answer as to why belief in the physical, bodily, glorious, historical resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential for Christianity. And we'll be back for that discussion in just a moment. You're listening to the Albert Miller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. On Faith is an online dialogue sponsored by the Washington Post and Newsweek magazine. I'm a columnist there along with several others, and the question posed at the end of last week with Easter on the horizon was this. I'm going to read to you the question in its exact form. Do you have to believe the resurrection is literally true, that Jesus came back to life in his body, to be a Christian? Now, I love this question because it is forcing an answer. At least you would think, you know, yes or no. It either is or is not necessary in order to believe that the resurrection is literally true, to be a Christian. Now, I wrote my article and posted it at On Faith at my page. It was also, of course, made available at the On Faith main page. Interesting responses there. And one of the interesting things about On Faith, of course, is that it is a conversation. So you've got several different people who are writing, and several other people did write. Now, let me just tell you what I had to say. Number one, similarly framed questions are often asked about various Christian doctrines. And the questions are unavoidable. I mean, if the word Christian used as a noun is to mean anything, then it has to be defined. And if it is to be defined, it has to be defined at least partly in doctrinal terms. In other words, the New Testament leaves no room. There are certain things you have to believe in order to be a Christian. And as a matter of fact, the word believe is at the very root of what it means to be a Christian. And believe, not in belief, or no, faith, not in faith, but faith in Christ and belief in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. The New Testament leaves no choice. Essential beliefs are explicitly mentioned within the Bible's presentation of the gospel itself. On this question, do you have to believe the resurrection is literally true, that Jesus came back to life in his body, to be a Christian? The Bible is also very, very clear. That's a question that is raised in the Bible and answered in the Bible. And I could think of numerous texts, but let me just point to two in particular, both from the Apostle Paul. The first is 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul makes the argument that there are some who say that Christ is not raised from the dead. He said, let's follow that argument out. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then we are still dead in our trespasses and sins. We are, of all people, most to be pitied because we believed a lie. And he goes on to say, but Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who believe. And he goes on, and Paul says, it is the vindication of his ministry on the cross. It is the vindication of his atonement on the cross, of his obedience even unto death, that is the central truth of the resurrection. And the promise of our resurrection as well for those who are in Christ. But you know, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, one of the most classic texts in all the New Testament about salvation, the Apostle Paul, after making the statement that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, then comes along and says, but how shall they be saved? He says it comes by responding to the gospel, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But he says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, that if you will confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, you would think that that would be conclusive, that would be an open and shut case. And of course, if you assume biblical authority, if you affirm the inerrancy and infallibility and the authority of Scripture, it is an open and shut case. You don't have to argue it any further. If even just one verse made that point, that will be sufficient, as it should be, on the authority of God's own word. But if you are unhinged from biblical authority, if you deny the authority of the Scripture, then you're going to come up with something very, very different. Now, Deepak Chopra, who's the New Age president of the Alliance for a New Humanity. I've been on the Larry King Show several times with Deepak Chopra. You know, a New Age philosopher with an Eastern background. He identifies himself as someone other than a Christian. And in fact, he says he is, quote, someone outside the Christian faith, end quote. But this is what he says. He says, I think there are three ways to interpret the resurrection and remain Christian in every sense of the word, period. Now, just take that sentence. What if I wrote a question and said, I think there are four different ways to believe in Shiva and still be a Hindu in every sense of the word? You would render me incompetent to make that claim. I would like to think that someone who is recognizing himself to be something other than a Christian would be a little hesitant to say he knows exactly what defines Christianity. But nonetheless, let's just take him at his word. He says he thinks there are three ways to interpret the resurrection and remain Christian in every sense of the word. Number one, Jesus of Nazareth literally arose from the dead. Number two, the divine resurrection as the core of Christian theology. And three, the resurrection of the spirit whenever a person attains higher consciousness. End quote, New Age. That's it. In other words, you can be a Christian and believe that resurrection is an important truth. You can be a Christian and believe that Jesus Christ literally, historically, physically was raised from the dead. Or you can still be a Christian in every sense of the word, Deepak Chopra says, if you believe that the resurrection of the spirit happens whenever a person attains higher consciousness. Well, you know, what I find fascinating about that is that Deepak Chopra, the New Age guru, is actually here sounding just like a Protestant liberal. Protestant liberal theology came up with the very same understanding. Denying that miracles happen like this, that dead people rise from the dead, liberal theology said, look, the resurrection is better understood as the emergence of a resurrection consciousness on the part of the apostles. In other words, they developed hope in their hearts that Jesus Christ was not literally raised from the dead, but that in some spiritual sense, in some sense of their own consciousness, he was raised, and thus they could go on living. Now, that is, according to the New Testament, nonsense. It is, according to logic also, nonsense. Because if they did not believe Jesus Christ was literally raised from the dead, then they would certainly not have offered up their own lives as martyrs for the one they knew as the risen Christ. But it is very, very interesting, and I think it's instructive to us that you have a New Age philosopher, if you want to call him that here, a New Age figure, and everyone basically knows what Deepak Chopra is about. When he starts talking like a Protestant liberal, it doesn't tell you a whole lot about him. It tells you a whole lot about Protestant liberals. Now, speaking of Protestant liberals, very, very interestingly, Bishop John Shelby Spong, the retired Episcopal Bishop of Newark, New Jersey, who's better known for what he doesn't believe than what he does believe, he said this, and I want you to hear his words exactly. He says, I do not believe that the deceased body of Jesus was resuscitated physically on the third day and was restored to life of this world, as at least the later Gospels assert. But I do believe that in him and through him, people have found a way into that which is eternal, and so they portrayed him as breaking through and transcending the limits of death. End quote. So here you have John Shelby Spong, and listen to me carefully. I've debated him on television as well. He is a retired bishop. He is not a Christian. Now, I'm sure he checks off Christian on the survey. I mean, he's a bishop of what's recognized as a Christian church. But he denies that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He says all there is to it is that his people found through him a way into that which is eternal, whatever in the world that means. So they portrayed him as breaking through and transcending the limits of death, which means they lied. Now, you've got two authorities to choose from here, my friends. You have the Apostle Paul and Bishop Spong. And along with Bishop Spong, you've got Deepak Chopra. Here's the question. I want you to answer it. Must you believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in order to be a Christian? You see, I think there's some people who would say, I'd rather not answer that question directly. Well, guess what? It is the defining question. I didn't make it that way. The Apostle Paul did. The resurrection of Christ becomes the central doctrine that affirms the vindication of Christ's work on the cross. If Christ is still in the tomb, as the Apostle Paul made clear, then we are fools to be his followers and to believe that there is new life in his name, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. Of course, on the other side, the liberals say we're fools to believe that God actually would do such a thing. The miracles just don't happen. I want to know what you think. The phone number 877-893-8255. Right back with your calls. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. At On Faith, some of the other responses were also interesting. Bishop N.T. Wright, who's also a New Testament scholar. He is the Bishop of Durham in the Church of England. He's written a massive work in defense of the resurrection of Christ. I thought that he would write a pretty persuasive essay in this series. I didn't think he did, actually. He certainly affirmed the resurrection of Christ as a concrete reality. Orthodox there, no question about that. But in terms of the question, must you believe this to be a Christian, he just dodged that entirely, didn't answer it. Now, I found the weirdest answer to be from one who I would also say is someone outside the Christian faith, although he would disagree. And that's Michael Utterson, who's Media Relations Director of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that is the Mormon Church. He said this, and I want you to hear his words. He said, to take the resurrection out of Christianity is to gut the Christian faith of much of its hope and promise, end quote. Much? I mean, maybe the Mormons have, some theology about what would be left without the resurrection, but I'd be curious to know what in the world they think is there, because the Apostle Paul says in terms of Christianity and the Christian gospel, if the resurrection didn't happen, you haven't gutted much. You've gutted all. There is no hope whatsoever. We are still dead, Paul says, in our trespasses and sins. That's about the worst news imaginable. There's nothing good, nothing hopeful after that. The question is this. Posed to me by the Washington Post and Newsweek magazine editors, must you believe in the literal, and that's their word, resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in order to be Christian? I think the answer to that from the scripture is absolutely clear. The answer is yes. I want to know what you think. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Julie's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Julie.
Hello, Dr. Mohler. I believe as a Christian, based on the scripture, you must believe in the resurrection or you don't have the entire gospel. And I believe the Apostle Paul made that real, real clear in 1 Corinthians 15, where he said, if you don't believe in the resurrection, your faith is worthless and in vain.
You know, those are two of the strongest words, and Julie, you're very smart to point to them. Those are two of the strongest words in the Greek there you can imagine, because they mean absolutely worthless, empty. And the word vain is not used in our contemporary English too much. Or when people hear it, they hear about it like she's so vain or something like that, as in, self-aware and conceited. That's not what the word means there at all. Vain there means completely empty. You did this in vain. You know, let's say that someone hears a rumor that someone is drowning. And in order to save the person, he jumps in and he himself drowns. And then there's the discovery that there's never a person who was in trouble in the first place. That man jumped in the lake to save someone. He died in vain. It was meaningless. It was worthless. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says about our faith if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead. It's absolutely worthless. It's a lie. And Julie, I think you're absolutely right. So the question then comes down to, why would people think they can be Christians without believing and affirming the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? That is, to me, a fascinating question. Julie, you're absolutely right. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Christy calling from Cary, North Carolina, listening on XM170. Go ahead, Christy.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. I absolutely, without a doubt, believe that you must believe in the resurrection of Christ in order to be a Christian.
Now, let me ask you, Christy, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, where do you think people would come up with the idea that they can deny the resurrection or not believe in the resurrection and be Christians?
There are so many mistruths out there. There are so many people trying to, I believe, fit the scripture, fit the gospel to what fits their lifestyle, to what fits what they're comfortable for. And, I wish I could explain why people believe the things that they do. I just believe that they're misled, that they don't have a full understanding of the gospel. They've not spent time in the Word, spent time worshiping Christ. If Christ died and did not rise again, that makes him like every other man, and he is not like man. He is supernatural, and without the resurrection, we have no hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Christy, thank you so much for your call. You know, here's my answer to my own question. Why would people think that you can deny the physical resurrection of Christ and be a Christian? It's because their definition of Christian is more about mood than substance. It's more about what they would bend Christianity to be to their own desires, and not what Christianity is as a system of revealed truth. And, you know, I don't think we should be surprised, human sinfulness being what it is, and this postmodern world being as confused as it is, there would be people who would say, look, believing in miracles like the resurrection is just too much for me. But I want to be a Christian. I like the services. I like the music. And I like the Ten Commandments. When we come back, we're going to talk about why that isn't Christianity. There's still time for you to call and join the conversation. Call us at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
You know, I think it is very interesting to look at the whole question here posed by the Washington Post and Newsweek magazine, the On Faith column, must you believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in order to be a Christian? That's the sum and substance of the question. You start looking at that and you say, all right, I like the clean directness of that question. But let me suggest to you that Christianity right now in North America is divided into three different groups. One group that says, rightly I believe, that you absolutely must believe in the physical resurrection of Christ in order to be a Christian. A second that believes that you do not have to believe in the historical physical resurrection of Christ in order to be a Christian. And you could say the first group is orthodox and conservative, and the second one is liberal and heterodox or even heretical. But then you have a group in the middle that doesn't want to answer the question. And that's the group for whom I have, you know, just growing disrespect. Because it's a question that demands to be answered. Most importantly, because it's a question the Bible itself answers. I mean, for instance, you could ask a question, you know, is it absolutely necessary to believe in premillennial eschatology in order to be a Christian? I'd have to say no. It's absolutely necessary to believe that Jesus Christ is faithful to all of his promises, including the fact that he will return in glory, in bodily form, in history, to claim his own and to judge the nations. But in terms of a timetable and all the rest, I don't believe you have to believe any particular thing in order to be a Christian. You just have to believe that that Christ is who he is, that he did what he did to respond to the saving message of the gospel, by faith to come to Christ and to trust that everything that Christ said is true and will be accomplished. But when you come to the question, do you have to believe in a literal resurrection in order to be a Christian? That's when the Bible just answers, slam dunk. Right on, no doubt, Romans 10:9 should be sufficient for any doubt about that question. And if you still have an itch after Romans chapter 10, verse 9, then go to 1 Corinthians 15, an even more comprehensive explanation of the same truth. So here's the question. Why do some people demonstrate a tremendous hesitancy to answer the question? Because that really troubles me. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Grand Island, Nebraska, where Gary is listening on KROA. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi. My comment was that I feel that one of the reasons that we have this in our society today is our churches are trying so hard to be politically correct that they don't want to give us the truth as the Bible lays it out.
Yeah, and why do you think that's so, Gary? Why are so many churches not preaching the comprehensive truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Well, I believe it's because absolutely struggling to become politically correct, and they think that society will turn away from them if they don't, when the truth of the matter, in my opinion, is it's the opposite. If we people, then God turns away from us.
Yeah, I think we got your message even with a little cell breakup there, Gary, and I really do appreciate your call. Let me just give a little evidence for the point that Gary was making. He spoke of it in terms of political correctness, and let's name it for what it is. It's an anti-supernaturalism. It's the belief of many people in this society that miracles don't happen, that dead people do not rise from the dead, that the dead people stay dead, that the natural order is simply what it is. There are people who think it's just incredible to believe in a resurrection. I mentioned John Shelby Spong, the retired Episcopal Bishop of Newark, New Jersey. He's the one who said, and let me just remind you of his words, he said, I do not believe that the deceased body of Jesus was resuscitated physically on the third day and was restored to life of this world, as at least the former Gospels assert, the later Gospels assert. But I do believe that in him and through him, people found a way into that which is eternal, and so they portrayed him as breaking through and transcending the limits of death, end quote. In other words, no physical, bodily, historical resurrection. But he said he was speaking, I want you to hear these words as well. He said he was speaking, quote, for those people who are committed to the Jesus experience, but because they are citizens of the 21st century, cannot twist their minds into first century pretzels in order to say, I believe, to the traditional explanations offered by the biblical writers, end quote. Well, Bishop Spong, meet Deepak Chopra. Because Deepak Chopra says that Jesus belongs to the world and that he has had a Jesus experience. But the difference is Deepak Chopra knows that he may have had a Jesus experience, but he's not a Christian. John Shelby Spong seems to think that you can have something you just call the Jesus experience and be a Christian. I was with my friend Dr. John MacArthur at the Shepherd's Conference just a few weeks ago, and in a Q&A session he was just talking, he had an excellent anecdote. He talked about being interviewed on the radio, a program like this, and there was a woman interviewing him, and he detected that she had a pretty shaky understanding of the resurrection, of the gospel, as a matter of fact. So he turned to her and he said, when did you become a Christian? And she said, oh, I got Jesus' phone number back in 1974, and we've been connected ever since. That was it. And Dr. MacArthur said, you got Jesus' phone number, and you've been connected ever since? Is that all you know about the gospel? And she said, that's it. Well, just think about that for a moment. She's had a Jesus experience, but if all she thinks about Jesus is that she got his phone number and they've been connected ever since, she is still dead in her trespasses and sins. And what worries me, again, is I do believe there is this three-group typology in American Christianity today, at least institutional Christianity. You got people who know, who understand on biblical authority, that in order to be a Christian, you must believe in the bodily, historical, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, what the editors at On Faith called the literal resurrection of Christ from the dead. And there are people on the other side who say it's absolutely not necessary. And I believe that in so doing, they are heretical and heterodox, false teachers, not Christians. But I'm worried about the muddled middle that doesn't want to answer the question. Gary suggested that one of the reasons why they don't want to answer the question is because they don't want to have to take a stand in a politically correct world. And I think that's almost precisely right. I think there are just a lot of people who want to dodge the hard questions. But if you don't know what a Christian isn't, you don't know what a Christian is. If you are unwilling to say that this is absolutely necessary in order for one to be a Christian, then you really can't lead someone to Christ. You can lead them to a Jesus experience. You can give them Jesus' phone number and hope they'll stay connected forever. But you cannot lead them to understand the gospel if you deny what the gospel clearly claims. The Holy Spirit will not bless that. And the Holy Spirit must convict them of their sins and call them unto the gospel. The gospel, by the way, of the crucified and risen Christ. The New Testament is very, very clear that Christianity is presented in terms of essential doctrines that must be believed in order for one to be a Christian. And I agree that one of the great tragedies of our day is that there are far too many Christian churches that simply are not preaching and teaching the truth. You can read the exchanges and the columns for yourself at On Faith. Go to my website at albertmoeller.com, hit the On Faith button, and it'll take you right there. Back with final thoughts in just a moment. I'm Albert Moeller. Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. I hope you will check out that dialogue on the necessity of belief in the resurrection at On Faith. I always find it interesting. And, you know, for a time, I wasn't participating as much there because of writing responsibilities elsewhere. But I will tell you that I find it worthwhile because it's an interesting place to be in a conversation in the public square about some of the most important questions of the Christian faith. And we got a tricky one coming this week, where the editors have asked us to address the question, which is the worst problem in the church and in society, sexism or racism? You know, from a Christian perspective, that's a difficult one to answer. One of the difficulties is, how are you going to define either sexism or racism? But it ought to lead to a good conversation. We'll see where that goes this week. You know, speaking of writing, I want to remind you again that my book Culture Shift is out from Multnomah Publishers, and I'm glad to say there are a lot of people reading it, and I'm getting a lot of interesting mail. And I hope as you do read the book, and you can, by the way, go to my website at albertmiller.com and find the book. It's also available at amazon.com or through your local bookseller. I'd love to know what you're thinking about some of these things, because I can just tell you these questions are coming pretty hot and heavy with people responding to various chapters in the book. My new book, entitled Atheism Remix, is going to be out in July of this year. It's based upon the Griffith Thomas lectures I gave at Dallas Theological Seminary earlier this year on the new atheists, folks like Richard Dawkins, Daniel Dennett, Christopher Hitchens, and Sam Harris, along with others, and what they represent as a challenge to the Christian faith. We'll be giving you more information about that in coming weeks, and we'll also be scheduling some special programs in which we're going to take these on as particular issues and challenges, and we're going to look forward to some public conversation, maybe even a public debate on some of these issues with some of the new atheists. Finally, I want to thank all of you who have been praying for me, and especially as I underwent surgery in recent days to remove a tumor from my colon. And, you know, you who have been aware of this and have prayed for me and sent me so many nice gestures and emails and communications of your prayer and concern, I just want you to know how much that is appreciated. I also want to tell you that I'm very thankful to God to be on the other side of that surgery and for the tumor to have been successfully removed, and today to have received word that the tumor was precancerous. That is indeed God's blessing and the answer to prayer, and we are very, very thankful. But even as I thank you, the listening audience, and those especially who've been praying for me and have expressed concern to me, I also want to take an opportunity for a very personal word to say that I hope that you will take the tests. And in this case, it's a colonoscopy. But I can just assure you that we're living in an age of medical miracles. We have to assume that that's one of the gifts God has given this generation. And, you know, knowledge is very important here. Ignorance is not bliss. I am indebted ultimately to God for this healing after the surgery, but I'm also indebted by God's providence to a group of medical professionals who really did make a difference in my life. Back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. You're listening to the Albert Miller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmiller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.